My friend Nanette Vaughn is joining me this morning. First off, it's good to see you again in person.
Hey, you too. I'm so happy to have seen that message yesterday. I appreciate the invite.
Well, I've been wanting to invite you in for quite some time because I've got a bunch of questions, and I'm hoping you're the person that answers those questions.
Oh, man. That sounds loaded. All right.
Well, it's not really loaded so much as just plain curious. Nanette is the director for CASA of Williamson County. What's that acronym stand for, Nanette?
CASA, that is an acronym for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, which is like, what? What does
right.
that even mean? I don't know.
We need to throw the word kids in there, children
yeah.
somewhere, don't we?
Right. So the Court-Appointed Special Advocates, we as an agency train community volunteers to advocate for the best interests of children who have entered the foster care system and the court system. So, yes, we do represent children. We give our children a voice in court.
In fact, I think some new laws were just signed by the governor involving foster kids over the last couple of weeks. There's been so many signed that I've kind of lost track, and I'm thinking right now there was something. Ongoing monies for foster kids once they're out of the foster home or something like that, just signed, I think. Well, we'll get on some other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because here's the thing. In the pandemic, you talked about having an advocate. And in many cases, there are a lot of advocates when a child faces abuse or neglect. And very often, they're school teachers.
Right.
And they didn't see their teachers last year.
Right.
And that, when you said loaded, that's the loaded part of the question there.
You
because
got it.
It's all anecdotal. I did an interview earlier this week about the people who didn't die from COVID during the pandemic, and we know so little. But we know that it's going on. We don't know how and where because we've lost one of the crucial connection points, the educational system.
It is crazy that you bring this up because I actually had conversations about this yesterday with someone in my office and then also another child welfare peer of mine, actually Alexa Sparks. We were discussing that.
I know Alexa.
So that we were looking at numbers yesterday whenever I was pulling up numbers for my newsletter and for reporting grants and things like that. So last year, CASA provided services to 198 children, which, you know, it's hard to compare that to, you know, what does that mean, 198 kids? That's a lot. That's a lot for a
Well,
a
your
rural.
Numbers, mm-hmm. your numbers from 2017, total children served by CASA, 169, in 2018, 183, in 2019, 173, and in 2020, 198.
Right. So out of that 198, we had, I believe, 75 new children coming into care. So we had provided, you know, ongoing services for, you know, 198 minus 75. So those were the ongoing kids, but 75 of that 198 were new. Already this year, we have seen Williamson County open up 77 new child abuse and neglect cases. This is largely due to last year, exactly what you said. Those children were not in front of their teachers. They were not in front of those people that keep an eye on them during the better part of the day, that can tell when that child is off, can tell when things aren't quite right, can tell when they're upset about whatever's going on in their home. They weren't in front of those teachers last year. So we weren't bringing in these children because no one was watching them.
You know, what's interesting is nobody's been able to come forth with a number on this until you today.
Really?
And I've been looking really hard.
Ugh.
It's kind of vague. It's anecdotal. We know what's going on. It's like the overdoses.
Right.
We know what's going on, but we don't know how much. And seeing the minute you saw me react, because when you said 75 new, because I'm going, oh, gee whiz, these numbers, you say 169 in 2017, in 2018, 183, some of those are carryovers.
Oh, lots of them are.
Lots of them, mm-hmm. right? And 75 new is the part that attracts my imagination on this.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you have the issue. Okay. From the outside looking in and knowing what I do know about what you attempt to do every day, Nanette, then this, my first takeaway is if you've got 75 new kids, you need more volunteers and you need more staff. That,
yes.
I mean, that I'm sorry,
yeah.
I'm the kids because I'm thinking about the kids, but you can't, this is the job. You got to
yeah.
find somebody to help the kid to be the advocate.
And this was the conversation that we were having yesterday. So the 77 new children that have already come into Williamson County, we still have 5 months left to go. We've already surpassed our number from last year, and we have 5 months left.
And school goes back in next month.
You got it. And that is when, this is the season when kids start coming into care, because now the teachers have got their eyes on the kids, right? And now there's the stress of school again, Okay. And now we're going back full time. We have all the stress of the COVID restrictions. And
let's just take a look at it this way, and I'll go ahead and be the jerk on this. There are a lot of people who are stressed out and being jerks.
Yeah, there are.
Sorry, trying to be nice, but let's be honest with you. There are a lot of people who are flipping out.
Abuse and neglect doesn't occur because we have evil parents. It doesn't. We want to believe that, but it doesn't. It's parents that are stressed, that are, you know, living from couch to couch, that don't have money, have substance abuse issues. Maybe they have some trauma, they've got some depression, whatever it is. They try to self-medicate. Then you end up with substance abuse problems, and that spirals.
You know, they're I'm not surprised you people. And I have gone this far without using the word meth.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Because I've talked to Williamson County deputies who have pulled over a couple who have a small child in the back seat. They're running a rolling meth lab.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The cop pulls them over. Kid gets out of the back seat. He's got his PJs on with his little footies, and he's laying, sitting beside the road on all fours, puking in the ditch while mom and dad don't know their first names.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I see that almost every day. We had seven shelter cares. Shelter cares are whenever a child comes into protective custody and they have to go in front of the judge within 48 hours of the time that a law enforcement officer, a doctor or DCFS investigator brings that child in, due to abuse or neglect. We've had seven. In the 15 years I've been doing this, we've never had seven in a week. This is a serious crisis. And I know we use that word and it's a buzzword and we're trying to, you know, create this sense of urgency. Yeah. So I'm not kidding you. This is a crisis. Talking with Alexa Sparks, who's the director, the regional director for Caritas, one of the private service agencies with DCFS here locally, has expressed serious concern over the number of children that her caseworkers are trying to manage. They can't do it.
And
they can't do it.
And the thing is about not doing is, you know, if you try to do too much, you do nothing well.
That's exactly what's happening. And it isn't through any fault of their own. These caseworkers are human. There's only 24 hours in a day. You can only do so much in a day. You got to eat. You got to sleep.
And it's the weirdest thing. And I'm so sorry because this is me being me. I take 77, excuse me. And I think, all right, how many hours of counseling service work goes into each person?
Mm-hmm.
And then how many people do I have that can take that workload? And I start doing the math, and I don't like it because 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 23 minutes, 20 doesn't do the job.
Nope.
While at the same time, and this is something I learned from my association with state police officers in particular who have helped whenever I've turned them on to something bad happening.
Mm-hmm.
They tell me, all right, now that I've got this in my hand, something has to be done in X hours and minutes and hours. If I get this report, the clock starts ticking. All right, the clock's ticking, but if you don't have the personnel and they don't have the personnel, then you've gotten yourself in a bind. Somebody in Springfield says, go do this, and you have 12 hours to do it.
That's what's happening. And there's not enough time. And let me remind you, 77 new kids, that's just in Williamson County. There are other counties. We're forgetting this is just me. This is just Williamson, Jackson, Saline, Franklin. I mean, I could go on and on.
Right.
It's not just here. So that's just 77 here. Let's talk about everywhere else and with all these caseworkers. So it really, it's so crazy that I just had this conversation yesterday. It really hit me hard how important my agency is.
I'm freaking out.
How important
I don't freak out visibly. But,
I freak out visibly, invisibly.
But because this really concerns me. And the reason why is I've seen it. I've watched the effect that it has on kids. It's one of the things about living here in my entire life. I've got a story arc on a large pool of people, and I see the outcomes. And I've had them look me right in the eye and says, well, you know how my dad was. Yeah, I do, buddy. I'm not going to be like my dad. All right, so they put the effort in, right? Try to change, break the cycle, is this, you know?
Absolutely.
I've heard it from both men and women that at my age, well, you remember my mom? Yeah, I do, buddy. Yes. I'm not going to let that happen to my kids.
But that's still why we're here. That's why we want to be that voice, that support, and to help guide them. These caseworkers are overwhelmed, and it isn't. And we hear that all the time. Oh, the caseworkers. I'm not kidding. We're talking, you know, whenever I was a foster care caseworker, I mean, I was a placement worker. 18 to 22 kids on your caseload. That's a lot. It's nothing for them to have 25 to 30. Alexa said yesterday that there are a couple of DCFS workers with 45. I mean, come on, you can't do that. You can't do it. So it made me realize
It's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, you bet. You bet. How can we keep them safe? So then it just really pushed me more to recruit more advocates, to recruit more volunteers, because we need the extra set of eyes and ears on these kids. We just do.
All right.
We just do.
And so yesterday afternoon, I don't know how this happened, but I reached out to Nanette yesterday, and I go out on Facebook yesterday afternoon about 3:55 p.m., and I see my old friend Bob Bandy going, now I'm a volunteer, and I have finished my training so that I can help CASA, and I would encourage you to do the same. I didn't know Bob was a counselor with CASA until yesterday. You got somebody there on your staff who knows his way around.
I love Bob. Bob is awesome. He's one of our best advocates. He is on it. You don't think so because, you know, he just kind of slides under the radar.
Right.
Man, he's good.
Yeah.
I would love to clone Bob.
Cat-like reflexes of Bob Bandy. But that's indicative of the people that come to you. They're motivated. And a lot of them have different kind of motivations. But the ones that I've met have been motivated by their past and trying to break the cycle.
That's right. And it's, I love doing the intake interviews. We interview everyone before they come in and actually take our training to kind of learn a little bit more about them and also for us to explain the program a little more. And I love learning their motivation. What is their why? What are they looking to get out of it? And I actually had a board member earlier this week ask me, you know, Nanette, what is the blueprint for the perfect advocate? I don't have one. What I'm looking for is someone with passion, with dedication, that isn't afraid to get in there and to give that child a voice, even if it means having to have a little bit of conflict, disagreeing with some people, having to kind of push your way through to make sure that our juvenile court judge knows what's going on in these cases and understands what's best for these children.
Yeah, I just got a note from Jeff from Heron. Jeff Hartline.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Big fan of yours.
Oh.
Says Nanette is the best for our kids and CASA.
Aww,
so always like
thanks,
when Jeff is listening in this morning. I hope you're doing well, pal.
Yeah. He took our training as well.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
And he's a good guy.
Did.
I like him a lot. See, and I know just enough about Jeff to know his motivation. He's a kid guy. He helps him in athletics. He believes in motivation. He believes in getting him in the right track. And athleticism is a way to
absolutely
a way to break the cycle.
You bet.
And it's
you
also
bet.
An escape. Or a lot of kids go in sports because now I don't have to be home.
Right. Absolutely.
So there are a lot of this in Southern Illinois when you get right down to it.
We all have a role to play.
You have had a lot of support. Former state's attorney Garnotti, good example.
Yes.
Golf tournament.
Yes.
In his absence, my understanding is Brandon Zanotti has also taken up the golf tournament. That continues for CASA?
COVID restrictions.
Oh.
COVID restrictions.
Virtual golf.
Yeah. We did a ball drop last year, kind of in lieu of the golf tournament. So he's still making some adjustments and trying to figure out the best way to continue supporting
and financing.
CASA. Yes.
We talked about time, but time is money. And once again, when it comes to human beings and their life and quality of life, I don't like that conversation, but nevertheless, here we are because it's the truth and reality of life. It costs money to do what you do. You've got volunteers, but it takes money to do the other things you do. How are you financially? Because I know this golf tournament was an important item for you.
It was. And our CASA's for CASA, the playhouses that we used to have that
yes.
we held in the mall, unfortunately, we had to close that up as well just due to the mall closing. And we didn't have a good venue for that. So we're relying on grants, community support, fundraisers. We did have a very large grant, our VOCA grant, that we lost very unexpectedly last December, about 2 weeks before it was supposed to expire. They just kind of changed how they wanted to distribute funding. It wasn't through anything that our agency did do or didn't do or didn't follow through with. They just decided they were going to just change things around a little bit. So we lost about 47% of our budget.
Yikes.
So that's why we did our Jeep raffle, a very quick fundraiser in the spring. It's difficult to have our normal fundraisers because with the COVID restrictions and,
right. and there's a social component.
Exactly. So we were struggling, but we're making it. We're making it through. We're finding ways and we'll figure it out. So we just keep trucking along and things keep popping up. We continue to be surprised with like our 100 Women Who Care. $11,600 just out of nowhere. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah,
so,
I think Kent Zimmer cross-dressed for that. Would you do me a favor and tell him I said that?
I will. All right, and if he hasn't, he should.
He
so
should.
Yes.
He's got that he backless should. Chiffon number. He's stunning.
He is stunning. Those legs.
What happens? What need is coming from a text message from this morning from Marcia in Jackson County. She says, what needs to happen to have CASA in Jackson County? I don't know that you're the best person for that question, but you are the only one I have in front of me.
Sure. So I think they're working on that. I have been in communication with the state's attorney there, Joe Cervantes, and we had had discussions about us kind of having an adjoining CASA agency, but last I heard, they are looking into opening their own separate CASA. We were going to do like CASA of Williamson and Jackson County,
right?
But I think they wanted to be kind of separate and apart. For whatever those reasons are, I don't know.
There could be a lot of them. It could be funding and grant writing. On the list goes.
Who knows? So that was their choice. That's how they want to move forward. And I believe that they are working on that. I mean, that is something that takes some time. It takes a lot of effort. Takes a lot of involvement and financial support. So it's not anything that's going to happen overnight. I mean, it can take, you know, up to 2 years. CASA is it's a state program. And it's national, so they have to meet all the state requirements and all the national requirements as well. So it's a process. It isn't like they just want to open doors next Tuesday. I mean, it takes a little bit.
All right. So you know, whenever you express these things to somebody that maybe you haven't over the course of this conversation that we've had here over the last 17 minutes, you know, there are always things you know that you want to tell people, and sometimes I don't get the right question for you to be able to express that. As director for CASA in Williamson County, we covered the fact you've seen a startling increase in new kids just from Williamson County. What do you want people to know about what you do, the need that's out there, the effect that you can have, and why it's important? What was the question that I should have asked you and I didn't?
I don't know. You know, a lot of times the barrier that keeps people from volunteering is, oh, I don't think I could do that. Oh, gosh, that sounds really hard. Oh, the emotional strain. You're right. It is hard. It's difficult. There are times after almost 15 years, I sit at my desk and cry. Okay. I mean, this isn't easy. I'm not mitigating the importance of volunteering at a food pantry or the soup kitchen. You know, those are all very important and we all need to give back to our community. We all have a limited amount of extra time. You know, we're busy people. It's life is tough. We're running around like chickens with our head cut off. So if you have the time to volunteer, you want it to matter, right? So in order for it to matter, in order for the impact to be made, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be hard. Doing these interviews, I hate them. I get sick. I get all upset and anxious and worried. But that is so minimal compared to everything that my kids have gone through. And if I can do this and overcome a little bit of my anxiety and being out of my comfort zone, to recruit someone, to get someone interested, to get someone to come in and give a child a voice or help support our agency so that we can continue to do that, it's worth it because these kids have been through so much more than we could ever imagine. It's okay to get out of your comfort zone. It's okay to push yourself. It's okay to feel maybe a little bit of that emotional stress that these kids have lived for their entire short little time on this planet. So it's worth it. It's worth it. You do make an impact. You do make a difference. It's, they need us. They deserve it. They deserve to have a voice.
Nanette Vaughn, Director, CASA, Williamson County, 841.